How many of you have ever tried to leverage something by using the rationale that everyone else is doing it? If your parents were anything like my parents, the answer was probably something similar. Everyone else isn't my kid. You're my kid, so start acting like it. And now that I'm a parent, I really appreciate this, like, irrational rationale that happens when they come to me and tell me everyone else is doing something. That my, believe it or not, my kids are the only ones in this town and in their school and probably even across the country to not have a smartphone. Everyone else has one, right? Everyone else is doing these things my kids don't get to do. And so far, it hasn't changed my mind, or at least it hasn't changed my mind yet, because those children are my children. And I need them to know what Nathan and I have for expectations, because we're trying to teach them what we think is right from wrong, and we want for them and hope for them and pray for them that they're going to grow into these decent and kind human beings that will do what's right, even if everyone else is not. The scripture today that comes from 1 John is a letter that was written by John, presumably John, post-Easter, to people that are gathered together that want to be followers of Jesus. And who better to write such a letter than someone that knew firsthand what Jesus did, that he got to witness Jesus healing people and teaching people how to be kind and watching Jesus sit with the outcasts, and left John, one of the disciples, with this legacy of continuing to do what Jesus did. And so John looks at these people and writes them this letter. And this letter is a reminder to the people that they're loved by John because he does love them and he wants to see what's best for them. But more importantly, that this letter is written to remind them and to everyone that reads these letters. So as we're reading them today, right, it applies to all of us, that we are God's children and that we need to do what's right even when everyone else is not. God has equipped each of us here today with knowledge and love and grace and forgiveness. God has already taken away the barriers that we put before ourselves to be able to go out into the world and act like God's children and to act like Jesus did in this broken world. God created each of us in God's image, but as humans, knowing that we were going to become flawed throughout our lives, that things are going to get messy. God created us knowing that we would say things we didn't fully understand or say things we wish we could unsay. God created us knowing we were going to sin, as is addressed in John's letter today, sin, which is to separate ourselves from God. But God must trust, like I do with my own children, right? That if they can just lean into that unconditional love and forgiveness that is already there, that's already there between each of us as individuals and as God, that we would be able to dust ourselves off and try to do better next time. Last weekend, we were fortunate enough to have pastor and author and blogger and speaker John Pavlovitz with us in Ames as our theologian in residence. And there were some repetitive themes in his presentations throughout the 4 days, mostly offering us hope and encouragement to act like God's children, to do what's right despite how others are behaving. One of the phrases that John used, and I can promise you're going to hear me use these words as we move forward again and again, is to ask ourselves if we want to be a courageous church. Do we want to be a courageous church? And if we do, what does that look like and how do we get there? Could it be that in such a divisive time in this country and in this world, that in order to be a courageous church, we need to just simply fall back on our basic understanding of who we are, which is that we are all beloved children of God, made in God's image, and that as John's letter suggests, we just need to act like it, to do what's right no matter how much chaos is going on around us, because other people can see God through the way we act. So what does a courageous church look like in 2024? What makes this church stand apart from every other religious institution in this community or social group or community group that you're a part of? Maybe a courageous church is the one that says, we don't have it all figured out. We don't know what the answers are. We know we're going to mess up, but we're going to keep trying. We're not stagnant in the way that this is the way it's always been. It's okay to have questions and to have doubts and not to say, this is what I believe, and not have any room for an open mind. Another question John asked us last weekend that I have thought a lot about this week is, who would notice if tomorrow morning we woke up and this church was just gone? It vanished. It wasn't here. Who would miss us? I know how I would answer that question, but I'm curious how all of you would answer that question. Certainly, I think those of us that are here today, or at least most of us, would miss us. But we're the insiders. We're here right now on the inside. Who else would be affected if we weren't here? The whole community. How? Can you be more specific? Who said that? Oh, Lindsay. Okay. Can you give me an example? All right. Anyone else want to answer that question? Oh, food at first. That was on my list. Kim, food at first. They'd miss Terry and all your smiling faces down there on the third Saturday of the month. Oh. Jason Paul is going to hypothetically go in smoke with this building and be missed. All right. I think the same could be said for each individual in this church. We don't need to start naming names of who we would miss, because I'm afraid I wouldn't be on that list. Anyone else have, if this church is just gone? Anyone else? So there's some AA groups and Al-Anon groups that meet here every single week and have forever, longer than I've been here. They would miss us. We open up our space at a reasonable price for people that really need a place to meet every week. But, you know, that's just for an hour at a week. And we have this big, beautiful building. How else maybe could we open that up for people? And then I also, on my list, had that if we were gone, then our flag sign would be gone. And I think that God is love. I mean, the rainbow implies some things to some people about who we are and what our values are, but I also just think God is love is a statement that not everyone can make. Some people might say God is love if X, Y, and Z, and ours is God is love, which I like. How do we continue to expand this list to make ourselves a courageous church? A church full of authentic, flawed people who don't always get it right, but sure are trying. To the people that need to be reminded that there are other people in the world right now who are trying to follow Jesus, the Jesus that John knew, that John writes about so well, the one that fed the hungry and healed the sick, comforted the grieving, sat with the outcasts, said the hard truths that no one else wanted to hear, but loved so hard because God loves us. Loving the person, not all the behaviors. So, where else do we need to be, or what else do we need to do to put our faith into action and be this bold, authentic, courageous church? It's not easy, and I know that, because if it was easy, we wouldn't be here dreaming about it right now. And it's not simple, because just because we think we're right doesn't mean other people should follow us, right? It's about being authentic to ourselves and who we believe God and Jesus are and how we're called to follow them. But it does mean that we need to be willing to share that with other people. I think for those of you that know me well, you know how much my kids mean to me. I'm raising these three kids, but all the kids here in this congregation are kids that I love and adore. And I want this church to be a place where all of them can learn about God's radical love and how to take that with them when they go out into this crazy, chaotic world. I want them to each be courageous followers of Jesus and to do what's right even when the people around them are not. I can only imagine that love is exemplified tremendously with how God loves each of us. that we are God's children, that God wants us to do what's right and to show others how to be these good and kind and decent people in a world that sometimes feels so dark. So as this letter from John encourages the people at that time, I hope that we can encourage each other so that our church can be an encouragement to others, that we're doing the right thing because we're beloved by God. Amen.